One thing, Sue, you said, if someone doesn't want to see the truth, it won't be shown to them. Let me just adjust that just a little bit. The truth is all around us. Okay, God's truth is everywhere you look. Amen. Whether or not you have a heart to see it is on you. Amen? Yes. Amen? Absolutely. So I just wanted to correct that, because there is no excuse for anyone to nobody can say they didn't see it or it was not shown them. It is evidently shown everywhere.
Amen.
So I just wanted to point that out.
Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. The loving kindness of God. I go back often to the scripture Brother Paul would share and share and share and share and share. And no, it's not in Colossians, but rather the end of Romans 8 here. Romans 8:32, it says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things. Man. So really it comes down to you, do you believe that? Or do you reject that? It's really what it comes down to. Because if you believe that, if you really believe that, then what is there? What obstacle is there that is greater than God's ability to accomplish through you that which he has given you to do? When you talk about that shield of faith, Sue, you know, you go to that armor of God, you got to realize that that is not your armor. You don't get issued a set. It's not like, you know, going to the military and everybody gets their set of stuff. No, it's God's armor. You're in him. You are in him and in his armor. That's what that is about. And that faith is really his faith, which is perfect. My faith is imperfect. Amen. My faith struggles at times. Jesus's faith never moves. It is sure. It is certain. It is steady. It is steadfast. It is the rock. It is sure. My faith? My faith is the one on the sinking sand, you see? All of my works, all of my abilities, all of my righteousness, quote unquote, all of that is that house over on the sinking sand. If that is where I abide, if that is where I live, I will perish. But God's given me a better house to live in. He's given me a better place to be. In faith, that's in him, in his very self. How not more perfect? Is there not a more perfect place to be? So when you think about that armor of God and all the things the enemy does, you look, man, the enemy's out there. He's going to do what he does. Your nature is what it is. God has given you a way to supersede all of that. You don't have to be subject to any of it. There's nothing that the enemy can bring to bear in your life that is greater than God. And even if you think it's too great, he's already told us that he's not going to allow more than we can handle. So in what area is there any space for any validity of an unbelieving thought to tell you otherwise? Now, you'll get the unbelieving thoughts. You will get them. You will get the doubt that will come against you, and it will come from everywhere. It'll come from your family, come from your wife, it'll come from your husband, it'll come from your work, it'll come from the world, it'll come from your very self, it'll come from your children. Look, you're going to get it. Don't you think Jesus got it? Why do you think he struggled so much at the rock? It was the struggle against unbelief. To put that off and to steel himself to the task that was at hand. Having faith and confidence in his Father's ability to accomplish the purpose of his sacrifice. And we see over in Hebrews that what fueled him to do that was the knowledge of the certainty of God, his Father's ability to accomplish that, which that whole, the whole point of him going to the cross was the redemption of mankind. Yours and my salvation. And for the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross and endured that. How did he do it? Because he was in his Father, and his Father was in him. There's a scripture that Steve and I touched on just briefly. We speak every morning. It's good because, well, not every morning. Every Sunday morning is when I get with my brother Steve and have discipleship, and it's a blessing. Even though it's 6 in the morning for me, it's a blessing. Where's that scripture? Here it is. All right. So I'm going to ask you to as I read these scriptures, what perspective are you going to see this from? Are you going to see this as, oh my God, I'm going to die? Or are you going to see this as, wow, that's amazing? Okay? You don't have to tell me. There's only 3 of us here and the dog. So, I mean, here is irrelevant. But you guys out there, I want you to ask yourself, how am I going to see this? Am I going to look at this as half the glass half full? Or are you going to look at this as a glass running over? John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. I want you to ask yourself, how do you see that verse? Do you see that verse as a negative? Because I see that verse as a positive. And I'll tell you why. Because with Jesus, I can do anything. Anything. I know without him I could do nothing. I have proven that over and over and over throughout my entire existence, all 40 some odd years of it. But I also know that in Jesus, there is nothing that I cannot do for him. Nothing. 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 See, if you look at that verse as somehow deficiencies, it's a big red light to tell you where your head's at. But if you can see that verse as opportunity. If you can see that verse for what Jesus is saying, and he goes on to say it very plainly, that in him, you could do anything. Now, he was speaking to his disciples. Is he a respecter of persons? Did it just count for the 12 or the 11 at that point? Heck, we see it with Paul. He wasn't even there. So we know it wasn't just those few. We see Timothy. We see Stephen. We see men and women of God referenced in the New Testament that stood in Christ and they accomplished whatever God had for them. There is so much doubt that exists around you and unfortunately in you. That it chokes out that ability to bear fruit. Do you want to be fruitful for the Lord? It goes on to, Jesus goes on to say here that in him, if you're in him, you're going to do the works he did. And those works glorify his Father. In what world would he not want to have his Father glorified? Right? So if we are his representation here, if we are his body here, and Jesus, the works that he did, were to bring glory to his Father, would not it make sense then that those same works done through us would also bring glory to his Father? And therefore, he would want them to be done? In yourself, you can't do it. But in him, and here this will blow your mind, in him, they're already done. You just got to walk into them. Go read John 15. He's talking to his disciples about how things need to be when he's gone. He's telling them that they got to love one another. Boy, that fervent charity over in Peter. You know, the perspective that came to me not too long ago, it might have been on the Hour of Truth, that when we were talking about that out of service, it was in that few weeks back, about that fervent charity is, boy, that is to not permit any doubt in yourself or in your brothers and sisters. It says have fervent charity one for another, or one towards another. This is, when I see my wife following after doubt, you can ask her, do I pat her on the head and say, oh honey, you'll get over it? No, I come with a rod. Not literally. But I do not give it any space. Gosh, you ever been around Brother Steve and try and talk doubt? How's that work for you? How does that work out? Now, you're going to get the verbal rod, and he's going to get animated, and he's going to get loud, and he is going to flat not have anything to do with it. For his sake, yes. For those in the room's sake, yes. But most importantly, for your sake. Why? Because he loves you. And Jesus loves you, and he doesn't want you living in that place of doubt, and he's not going to let you have any space in it unless you just choose to hug up on it and love it. And you can read even more in John 15, the end result of those people that want to hug up and live in that place of doubt and never bear any fruit. Guess where they wind up? They wind up in hell. And it's of their own choosing. And it doesn't have to be that way. Doesn't have to be that way. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the similarities of the children of Israel as they left Egypt and they get to the Red Sea and they spend time in the desert, they get to the River Jordan, etc. Being a Christian is a growth process. Being a believer, believing in God, it's a growth process. You're not going to get it right day one. That's all right. That's what grace is for. You keep going back to the Lord. Ask for forgiveness. Move on. Learning how to put off doubt, it's a learned thing. You don't do it right day one. You don't even know the doubt you have in your heart. If you knew it, I mean, I don't know of any of us that would even try. But you learn to put that off. You learn to trust God. You learn that it's the advantages to believing and trusting in Him far outweigh that perceived failure and fear on the other side. And it's all perceived. It's not even real. It hasn't happened. You know you can trust God. You know you can believe in God. You know that He's sure. You know that He's steadfast. And if you're in Him, you can do anything. Without Him, you can do nothing. You read through John 15, it's all about what you choose. What you choose to believe, what you choose to do. You get in believing God, I should say. You gonna believe Him? Or are you gonna go with the doubt? I hope and pray for you, for me, my family. I say family, both physical and spiritual family. You choose faith. You choose the surety of God, the goodness of God, the love of God. And you reject the doubt. You reject it. Now, I could go on and on with example after example of my own life, of what it's like to live in a place of trying to prove God wrong or proving my authorities wrong. And all of that is just doubt. It's just unbelief. There are times I didn't see it, but I can look back now and I can see very clearly that every bit of it was my perspective was absolutely wrong. And my faith and trust wasn't in the Lord. It was in everything else. But God's grace and His mercy through Brother Davey, my father, Brother Steve, others, to continue to extend grace and mercy to me, continues to minister to me and help me break free of that bondage. Now, Paul says, I don't speak as one having attained it, but this I know, The old things are gone. I'm looking towards the future. Boy, that's a bad paraphrase, but I'm going to go with it. So what? Yesterday was what yesterday was. You know what? Today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. And if you're breathing, guess what? You can change it. You can change the path you're on. It's just a matter of what you want. What do you want? Do you want health? Do you want deliverance? Do you want freedom? Do you want liberty? Do you think our God, who spared not his only son, would hold any of that back? Think about it for a minute. Just think about it. I'll probably leave you with that. Just think about it. All the things in your life that you're worried about, that you're stressed over. Are any of them bigger than God? Just think about that.